after the news at the top of the hour.
It's called Spotlight.
Are you sure that this is completely necessary?
Necessary?
You have 1 hour to clean up this mess, and I am not going to help you.
Welcome to the local Spotlight.
Good thing I found you two. All the other surgeons are working on the patient.
Here's your host, Matt Southall.
What's up, Austin? Welcome to the local Spotlight, your home for high school sports in the greater Central Texas area. I'm your host, Matt Southall. Happy to be here, just like every day on a hump day. You can follow me on Twitter at Matt Southall, too, if you'd like. Got a great show lined up for you today. I tell you that every day, though, so let me give you a rundown here real quick. The Gatorade Texas Baseball Player of the Year has been announced. We'll get you that here in the first segment. We're also going to talk with Kelly Cool, the Thorndale baseball head coach. Thorndale one win away from a state tournament berth. So haven't talked with Coach Cool in, I guess it's been a little over a month. So contacted him again, said, hey, Coach, got to get you back on here real quick. So he's going to be joining us here in the first segment. At the bottom of the hour, we're also going to be joined. We got a bang bang lined up today. Two interviews back to back. We're going to be joined by Elizabeth Whistle. Last time we talked with her, she's the Bowie softball head coach. They have clinched a state tournament berth. They're going to be facing, after their win versus the Woodlands last week, they're going to have a pretty tough opponent coming up this week as well. So we'll talk with Coach Whistle about that. Still one of the best names of any coach that we have here in the Central Texas area, Coach Whistle. So we're going to talk with her at the bottom of the hour. And then in the final segment, we're going to talk a little bit about Casey Thompson, the Texas commit, who will be transferring. Not transferring colleges, but transferring high schools. I'll get to that story in the final segment. And also, we're going to talk about Keontae Ingram, the newest commit here at the 40 Acres, the number one running back in Texas. Went back and watched some film on him, looked at his Twitter profile, everything like that. And he had some interesting things to say. And, you know, just going to break down some film and talk about him a little bit, the newest commit for the Texas Longhorns in the class of 2018. So good little lineup going on today. So very, very happy to be here and happy to do it. I encourage interaction. Specs text line 512-337-3776. I tell you every single day. But yeah, so keep those texts coming in just like you always do. Let's see, how to listen, 104.9 FM, 101.9. If you're up in the northeast area of Austin, the Round Rock, the Georgetown, the Hutto, the Taylor, all that area, if the horn signal, the 104.9 signal ever gets weak, you could just pop right over there. It's always affiliated here with us here at the Horn, AM 1260, hornfm.com, and the Horn app, of course, the new app. If you haven't updated that app, go ahead and do that. I need to do that actually as well. I said that yesterday, and I still didn't do it. I need to go and update the new app. It involves all of us, all of the stations here at Genuine Austin Radio and the Austin Radio Network. So be sure and get that updated for you. And our presenting sponsor, the Gino Watt team, Keller Williams Realty. If you're looking for a home in Central Texas, they want to help you find one. And you need the best team on your side because stuff goes so fast out there. I'm telling you, houses are listed for 1 or 2 days at a time, and they're already getting offers. You need somebody that can stay on the ball for you and find you exactly the home that you are looking for, because there's a lot of different types out there, and you know, it's tough. It's a tough market here. A lot of people want to move to Austin. So contact the Gino Watt team, Keller Williams Realty, 261-1000, or visit their website at austintexasrealestate.com. The Gino Watt team, changing lives through real estate. All righty. Very good. So I wanted to go over, because I didn't have the baseball schedule yet yesterday as far as the playoffs go. We are in the, let's see here, let me look at my handy dandy little bracket. We're in the regional final segment, regional final round. So technically the 5th round of the playoffs. Of course, if you qualify for a state berth, that would be the 6th round. So essentially you have to win not only 5 different rounds of playoffs, but then that's just to qualify for state. Only 4 teams in each classification qualify for state, and then it becomes a 1-game playoff. And that applies for softball too. I don't think I mentioned that yesterday, but all of these teams that have qualified for state, no more 3-game series. It's all down to 1. It's a 1-game series now from this point going forward. So it's 1 and done. Either you win or you lose. So we'll be sure and get that going. You know what? We're going to switch it up a little bit. So I'm going to get you the Gatorade Texas Baseball Player of the Year coming up, the softball and baseball schedules. But now we're going to go to the Bob Steak and Chop House hotline, and we're going to bring on the head coach at Thorndale High School, the baseball team out there. He is Kelly Cool. Hey, Coach, how are you?
Hey, Matt, doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Excellent. Not a problem, Coach. You know, looking back at it, I was kind of surprised. I think the last time that we talked was way back on April 28th. So that was our last chat. And since then, you've gone on a pretty good run. To recap all those who don't know, you guys swept Ganado in the first round. You followed that up with a sweep of Iola, and then you swept Evadale as well. What was working so well for you in those first three series?
Yeah, it's just what we preach, pitching and defense. We tell our kids, you know, if we have good pitching and defense, the offensive part will take care of itself. Everybody likes to hit, but not many people like to go practice defensively. And looking back on that, I think those first three series, we gave up a total of like 8 or 9 runs was all. And, you know, our kids really believe in that, and that's what they're going to do.
So what is it defensively that they're doing so well? I mean, is it just not letting ground balls get by you, talking to each other out on the field? What specifically are they doing out there, and what specifically do you guys practice that they're doing out there?
You know, all of that. You know, we preach make the routine play, and then the other plays will take care of themselves. And, you know, our kids have made the routine play, and then we've had some spectacular defensive plays. Last week we turned a triple play against Refugio. In the Evadale series in game 3, we were up a run in the 7th, and they tried to squeeze, and our pitcher came running off the mound and threw the guy out at the plate. And, you know, I came out of the dugout yelling, TCU, TCU. And people probably thought I was crazy because we're playing at Rice. But TCU is just one of the drills that we do that works the squeeze situation for us defensively. And we're going to put our kids in every situation that they could see on the field. And, you know, you may not ever see them in a game, but that one time that you do, they'll be prepared for it.
Now, Coach, so that was the first three series, first three rounds of the playoffs, rather. Now, Inter Refugio last week, they were the number one team in 2A. They only had one loss on the season going back and looking at their schedule, and that was just a warm-up game after their district play had wrapped up. And that was versus a 3A team in Bishop that went on a pretty nice run themselves that just got eliminated by Vista, Lago Vista out there. Now, they took game 1, 5-1. Can you take me through that first game versus Refugio? Would they roll out their ace on you? You guys have a hard time?
Yeah, they have a pretty good kid. He's committed to U of H, and he was sitting one of my old ball players that was sitting up there by a scout. He was in the 90s early in the game. But our kids weren't intimidated. They were prepared for it because we talked about it all week. We practiced it all week. We actually jumped out to a one-run lead there in the top of the first and then did some things not typical of us, had a walk in the bottom, and then, you know, they put a run up and tied it. And it was a 2-1 game until the 6th, and they busted out and got 3 runs there on a couple walks and an error, stuff that we don't normally do. But we just preached to our kids, and our kids knew that we're the better team, and they felt that way going in, that we're the better team, and, you know, they came and proved that on Saturday.
So after game 1, you guys dropped that one 5-1. Enter game 2. Now, the score ended 4-3, but it was pretty dramatic. If everything I read was correct, you guys scored, what, 3 runs in the bottom of the 7th to steal that game 2?
Yes, sir. We were down 3-1 going into the bottom of the 7th, and Trey Ortiz came up and led off with a single. Then we had back-to-back walks by Ryan Biar and Colby Driver and Lane Nimps, who had a big base-running mistake earlier in the game that probably cost us a run, came up and hit a 3-run double over the right fielder's head to win it.
So, I mean, pretty dramatic. Were you nervous at all entering that 7th inning down 2 runs?
No, not really. I mean, I believe in our kids. Our kids believe in each other. They believe in us. And, you know, these guys, they haven't given up all year. They're just a bunch of competitors, and they fight. And I told my assistants on the way home Saturday that, I haven't said this, but the bottom of our order, and especially in 2A, has been doing a great job. You know, most 2A schools, those people are easy outs. And the bottom of our batting order, especially in the playoffs, are tough outs, and those guys have been getting on and producing, and those were the guys we had come up, and they did their job.
Now, Coach, I wanted to ask you also about Game 3. Now, do you think that the end of Game 2 gave you guys any momentum, a comeback like that in the final inning. Do you think that sort of kind of propelled you into game three?
Yeah, I think it gave us a little momentum, but, you know, Refugio did a good job of stopping that pretty quickly. They got a 3-run lead early, and then we kind of just had to settle down and play baseball. As I told our kids in about the second inning of that third game, that the reason they're up, the difference between us and them right now is they're hitting the ball and they're taking their singles and doubles, and we're knocking the cover off the ball as well, but we're pressing. You know, we hit a leadoff double, and then we get thrown out at third just trying to get an extra bag. We got thrown out trying to steal third, and just told our kids, quit pressing and just play the game like you've been playing all year, and great things will happen. And that's kind of what they did after that top of the second inning, and we just started rolling from there.
So what was it exactly? You mentioned they got three quick across on you in that third game, but what was it? Was it just one hit, you know, kind of translating over into the next guy and momentum started to build? When did you guys get most of your runs across? You ended up winning game three, 9-3, for those who don't know. But what was it that really got you guys going in that third game after going down early 3 runs?
Like I said, I just told those guys, quit pressing. We were pressing at the plate and on the bases trying to make things happen. And I told them, just do what you do, because what you do is good enough to win this game. And we did. We went out and scored 2 in the bottom of the second to make it 3-2. And then we scored 3, I think, in the third to go up 5-3, and then just kept tacking 1 or 2 on here and there. And then, like I said, defensively, we went out and just played great defense. Ryan Biar came in and threw a heck of a game for us to keep those guys at bay after they scored those 3 runs.
Thorndale High School head baseball coach Kelly Cool joining us on the Bob Steak and Chop House Hotline. Now, Coach, you mentioned Trey Ortiz, who had a really big leadoff single in that game two that helped propel you guys, you know, with your backs against the wall. Who are some of the other guys? And you mentioned a couple other names, but I want to give you a chance to talk about some of the guys that have really stepped up, not only in that Refugio series, which we've talked a lot about, but in the first 3 series as well. Who are some of the guys that have really stepped up to the plate for you?
At the plate, Scott Guzman's been hitting the ball well. Ashton Schaefer had some big hits in the Evadel series and again last week. Like I said, the bottom of our order, you know, Colby Driver, Ryan Biar, Trey Ortiz, Lane Nemch, they're tough outs. And then the guys at the top are 2, 3, 4, Ashton Albert and the Fisher cousins, Logan and Mason. You know, everybody's been a tough out, just hitting the ball all over the place and making the other team make plays.
Now, Coach, also you've got I wanted to ask you about your upcoming series. Big Sandy, they eliminated Flatonia. They were the defending 2A state champions. They haven't lost a playoff game yet. They've got a pretty good pitcher in Austin Hendricks. He was a first-team All-Stater last year. He's going to Texas A&M coming up here this next year. Other than, you know, the run that they're on, and they've got one really good pitcher, but, I mean, Refugio, you just talked about their really good pitcher as well. What else do you know about this team and everything that you've seen and heard and everything while you've been preparing for them?
They're just I think they're a lot like us. They're a well-coached team, I know. They're going to do all the little things right. They're going to be fundamentally sound defensively. They put the ball in play offensively. I think they got a pretty good stable of pitching. They got a couple guys that moved in a couple years ago from Woodville that are going to help them a lot. One of them will be behind the plate and then probably pitch game two. His brother's a sophomore and plays in center field, a little left-handed pitcher. So I think they're just going to be stable, and, you know, they're going to make the plays defensively, and they're going to hit the ball as well. It's like we tell our kids every week, you're going to get punched in the mouth. You just got to go punch them back. And I think it should be a good series.
Kelly Cool, Thorndale baseball head coach, joining us here on the Local Spotlight. What are some of the things that, I mean, you talk about responding to adversity, but what are some of the little things, some of the fundamental things that you hope that your team can execute going out there in this upcoming series?
You know, I hope we just continue to throw strikes on the mound. Our pitcher's done a great job. They got to hit spots and mix their pitches up. And then behind them, play great defense. And then, like I said, they got 3 or 4 good pitchers. We just need to go put the ball in play and have great at-bats and make those guys work. Our kids aren't going to be intimidated by any of those guys. We faced some really good ball players this past week, you know, in the weeks leading up to this. So we played Big Sandy last year as well, and we faced the Hendricks kid. And we actually out-hit them 6-3 that game, but they got the better end, winning 3-2. And, you know, game two last year went 10 innings, and we got beat 5-4. So our kids feel that they can play with them. We feel that we should have won the series last year, you know, so some of them got a little revenge factor on their mind. But we just got to come out and play baseball and have fun.
Yeah, that'll be a 7:30 p.m. game one tomorrow night in Madisonville, if I'm not mistaken. Yep, Madisonville right there, 7:30 p.m. versus Big Sandy. How's the town support been up there in Thorndale?
Oh, these people are wonderful. It was packed last week. They were loud. Everywhere you go, you know, people talking about baseball. And picked my daughter up from daycare yesterday in Taylor, and two or three people asked me about it. I had no clue who they were, and just saying, great job. We listened to the game, and hope you can continue to get on a roll. So everybody's excited. You know, it's that time of year. We got, as I'm talking to you, we got 30 little kids out on our field right now for camp, and those kids are excited and talking about it, and it's just a fun time of the year.
Yeah, it is. It is a whole lot of fun, especially whenever you keep on winning. Now, Coach, I got one more question for you. You've been coaching for a long time. How does this team compare and contrast to previous teams that you've coached that have made these kind of deep postseason runs?
You know, it's hard to compare teams, but I think defensively this was maybe one of the better teams that we had. Pitching-wise, we don't have the guy that's just dominant on the mound that we've had before, but the three or four guys that we throw on the mound, they do dominate. I mean, they don't throw hard like kids we've had before, but they go out there and they do a great job of hitting their spots and making people make outs. And so I think that's comparable to those other teams. You know, these kids got an attitude of, we're not going to get beat. And I think that's what a lot of those other teams had as well. And I think the more we play, the better they have gotten with that. And they just seem to grow as a team every time we touch the field.
Well, that's always a good sign. Hey, Coach, we appreciate your time. As always, good luck this weekend. We'll be rooting for you. Hopefully you guys can get another one across and then get that state tournament berth, and we can do it again here in the next couple weeks.
All righty, Matt. Thank you.
Good deal. Not a problem. Thank you very much. Kelly Cool, Thorndale baseball head coach, kind enough to take some time out of his day. Sir, appreciate that. Thorndale, they're on a good run this year, but they've got a tough test coming up this coming weekend versus Big Sandy. And he mentioned it right there. They knocked him out of the playoffs last year. So before we had Coach on, I was going to run down the schedule here for you real quick. So let's do that right now. You know, we entered last weekend with, I guess it was, six Central Texas area teams. The only team that dropped their matchup, that was going to be Dripping Springs. They lost to the third place team in that Corpus Christi district down there to Ray. They lost in two, but all the other teams made it through. So we had Hendrickson, Round Rock, Dripping Springs, Lago Vista, Gateway, and Thorndale. Ironically enough, so five teams get through. Two of those matchups between those five teams will be between two Central Texas area teams. So you've got Hendrickson and Round Rock going up against one another, Lago Vista and Gateway, and then Thorndale, who'll be playing Big Sandy. So that's the only – Thorndale's actually the only Central Texas area team that's not playing another Central Texas area team. So those series, ironically enough, Hendrickson and Round Rock actually getting started today. Yeah, on a Wednesday. Usually this late in the postseason, you don't see too many Wednesday series get going because you don't have as many scheduling conflicts because there's not as many teams in the playoffs. But nonetheless, that series will get started today. And this week has been it's been a short week. So essentially yesterday, which was Tuesday, kind of felt like a Monday. And I usually don't, you know, schedule any guests for the first day of the week so I could get through everything that happened over the weekend because there's plenty to talk about. And then throughout the course of the week, I'll start to bring on coaches and stuff and things of that nature. But, I mean, it feels like a Tuesday, but it's actually a Wednesday. So one of those series is already getting going tonight. Let's see. I do have my schedule in here. Let's see. So that Round Rock and Hendrickson series will start tonight, 7 p.m. at Concordia University. The game two of that series will be at Friday night at 7 p.m. and then Saturday's game three, if necessary, all games at Concordia University. And if you'll remember, these are two 13-6A teams in Round Rock and Hendrickson. So they've certainly they've seen each other a lot this year and in years past. So they played three times this year because they split their two district matchups. Here we'll I've got the scores right here. Hendrickson took the first game 4-2 in their first district matchup. Round Rock came back in the second time they met and put 17 up on Hendrickson, won that one 17-2. And then game three, that I guess it wasn't they're both co-district champions, so it wasn't for the district championship. But for seeding purposes, they played again to figure out who was going to be the winner and who was going to be the runner-up. And Hendrickson took that one 3-2 at the end right after district play wrapped up. And we're going to be joined by Coach Pierce, actually, on Friday. He's going to join us at 10:30 to talk about their matchup. So they're going to get their series going tonight, and then he could talk to us on Friday ahead of game two of that matchup. So whenever we bring on Coach Pierce, he'll have game one to talk about in that series, which is kind of unusual because most of the time I talk to coaches, it's before the series actually gets going. So he'll have a firsthand look at that team going on tonight, and then we'll talk with Coach Pierce about it on Friday ahead of their game two. Now, the other series that are going on, Lago Vista and Gateway Prep, that's going to be a 3A showdown, of course. Both of those two teams, district foes as well. So that series will begin 7 p.m. on Thursday. You know, I should have gone back and looked. I want to say that they split their season series, but I could be wrong about that. I'll double check during the break. But 7 p.m. to tomorrow night, that series gets underway. 5 p.m. on Friday is game two. And if they need game three, they'll do it Friday night as well as a doubleheader. They'll take 30 minutes in between those two games. All of those games will be at Liberty Hill High School. So I guess both teams kind of meeting in the middle. Liberty Hill, maybe a little northeast for Vista, and then a little northwest for Gateway Prep. Nonetheless, and then the other series, of course, Thorndale and Big Sandy going on starting tomorrow night at 7:30. Game two will be Saturday at 7 p.m. and then Saturday at 4 p.m. and then 7 p.m. Saturday if they need that game three. So they'll do a doubleheader on Saturday if necessary. All games at Madisonville High School. So very much appreciate Kelly Cool jumping on and talking with us. So that is your baseball schedule. I also teased this. Let's see if I can find it here real quick and make this good radio. I did mention the softball schedule that's going to be going on, but I didn't mention exactly which teams are going to be playing. Going to be playing where? Let's see here. I got it. Don't worry. I got it. Okay, so it's going to be starting, of course, here in Central Texas. There all the softball championships going on at the University of Texas softball field. They're going to start on Wednesday. Now, no, it's going to be 2A semifinals and 3A semifinals beginning on Wednesday. We don't have any Central Texas area teams involved in those. A couple of defending state champions trying to hold on to their titles, though, including Shiner. They'll start their 2A semifinal game at 9 a.m. on Wednesday. But Liberty Hill, one of our Central Texas area teams, they'll be playing in their 4A semifinal matchup. We're going to have Coach Hankins on tomorrow to talk about that. So, oh my goodness. Actually, she hasn't confirmed yet, but she didn't say that she was busy tomorrow. I have her written down for 10:10 tomorrow, and their matchup is going to be starting at noon tomorrow. So I'll have to make sure that that's okay with her because that semifinal is going on. Liberty Hill versus Vernon. That Vernon squad is 24-7. Liberty Hill, of course, 38-2-1 on the season. But that's a noon matchup tomorrow. So hopefully, hopefully Coach Hankins can fit that in. If not, maybe I'll have to pre-record it and then play it tomorrow for you. But I'd like to get her on ahead of that matchup. Of course, I mentioned this earlier. It's only one game series now. No more three game series here. So Liberty Hill going on tomorrow, and then Dripping Springs, they'll play their semifinal matchup versus Willis on Friday. That's a noon game as well. And then one more team, Bowie. Yes, of course. And we're going to be joined by Liz Whistle. We're going to talk with her about that matchup here in just 1 second. But Northside Brennan, they're 29-7 on the year. That's going to be a 6 p.m. game on Thursday for Bowie. So we'll be sure and talk with Coach Whistle about that. Actually, right now, we'll go ahead and do that. We'll jump out for a first break. And on the other side, I'm going to get you this Texas Gatorade Baseball Player of the Year. And we're going to have Coach Liz Whistle from Bowie Softball on the local spotlight on the Horn. Don't touch that dial. 104.9 FM, AM 1260 and hornfm.com.
Welcome back to the local spotlight. Here's your host, Matt Southall.
Nice interview to start off the show there with Coach Kelly Cool of Thorndale High School. He's a baseball coach out there. Didn't get a chance to mention with BK and Trey doing their Midday Show now from 11 to 1. Their debut episode was yesterday. It's on hornfm.com if you missed it. Had Adam Wagner in behind the glass yesterday and today as well. Thank you very much for being here, Adam. Appreciate it.
Matt, my man, thank you very much for having me. Always a pleasure, man.
Of course, absolutely. Of course, we're going to be joined by Liz Whistle here in just 1 second. I'm going to get you this Gatorade Texas Baseball Player of the Year. But, Adam, the finals going to be starting here on Thursday. I know you're a big hoop guy. Which way are you leaning in this finals
matchup?
Oh, I got
Cleveland, man. Until you can prove it otherwise, dude. You can't. LeBron, look here. We've gone and I've been asked so many times, who do I have over Michael Jordan or LeBron James?
Mm-hmm.
One, I don't think you can compare the players. I think LeBron's more comparable to Magic Johnson.
You can compare them.
Yeah, sure, of course, but I don't think you're doing each other. I think you're doing both players a disservice when you do that.
Okay.
If bottom line, last possession of the game, if I need a score, I'm going with Michael Jordan.
Going with MJ?
Going with MJ. Defense, I'm not selling MJ's defense out because he was, you know, NBA all defense consecutively for years.
Oh, yeah.
But LeBron James, I've never seen anybody close down. Like, you're not safe on that court. You could have a half-court start, and LeBron James will close on you and put you up against that backboard.
So what you're saying is that you're taking Cleveland just because of LeBron.
Wouldn't you?
No,
seven
I'm
straight
taking
finals?
Golden State. I know.
Seven straight finals?
I know that seven straight finals is absolutely astonishing.
All right, so LeBron does beat Golden State, because everybody is Golden State, Golden State, Golden State, to you, Matt Southall, is LeBron the best all time?
Okay, so it's really, you can say, it really is your opinion. It really is. And I was born in 1988. So I got the very tail end of Michael Jordan whenever he was with the Bulls. And I do remember watching him, but you have no point of reference at that point. So for me to go back and say, well, I can watch LeBron now, but I remember MJ playing at the tail end of his career, it's hard for me to say that I would take LeBron over Michael. Now, I watched a good deal of Kobe's career. I watched a good deal of LeBron's career. And it really is. You're picking between two and three of the best players of all time. So I don't like to get into this guy's better in this, because you can never really prove it. And it's just an opinion, and it's kind of a worthless argument to me. I know, and I've been an advocate for LeBron James and saying that he's played at such an excellent level for so long that people have really taken for granted how good he is. So for me to say that a championship for LeBron this year would make him, you know, would move him ahead of so-and-so, that's not how I think about it. I already regard LeBron as one of the best players that I've ever seen play the game of basketball. So him winning another championship, maybe it gives him that little extra edge because, I mean, face it, he's been to, let's see, this is his eighth finals appearance. He's the only player to ever take two different teams to four NBA finals. Seventh straight finals appearance, which is just absurd if you think about it. Seven straight. I mean, that sort of thing only happened back in the 60s with the Celtics. It's unbelievable. It really is. It's crazy. So for me to say that a championship for LeBron would put him above so-and-so, that's just not how I
quantify
rank
stuff,
athletes. Yeah. So it's just – but
okay. So is he the best franchise player to build around? I guess that's a better question, right?
At this point, no, because he's 31. No. I mean, if I had to pick a player to build around at this point, it would probably be Karl Anthony Towns or Giannis Antetokounmpo. Because it's just like for instance, dynasty fantasy football, which I know that you could relate to. If you're rebuilding a team, you want to start young. You don't want to get older guys that are not going to have any value. So, but do I think that LeBron could potentially go to two, three more finals after this? I mean, think about it. This is just seven. I mean, who in the East is going to step up to take them out next year? Because Boston certainly didn't look like they had much of a chance.
If the Wizards get KD.
No way. That's not going to happen.
I'm wishfully thinking.
I think the Eastern Conference Finals would have been much better if Washington had gotten past Boston. But if ifs and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. And that's just the way that it works. So, but who knows? LeBron could go to 8-9 straight finals. And, I mean, it's really absurd to think about. But seven is absurd to think about at this point. So who knows? We'll see. We're going to be joined by Coach Whistle here in just 1 second from Bowie Softball. They're having a phenomenal season out there. And I think I said this the last time that she came on, but I mean, just a truly, truly phenomenal season. And it's something that, that Bowie has done, you know, for a few years and consecutive years now. And Bowie and what's the other? And Hendrickson as well. The only two Central Texas area teams to qualify for the playoffs. Said this yesterday in every single team sport, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's team sport. But yeah, that is certainly something to be proud of in this run that, that Bowie's on currently in 14-6A in a tough district too. So let's go to the Bob Steak and Chop House Hotline and bring on Liz Whistle from Bowie Softball. Hey, Coach. Welcome. Thanks.
Hey,
thanks for coming
you?
Back. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Awesome. Yeah, of course. You know, I was looking back at my calendar, and I saw that the last time that we chatted was May 10th, so 3 weeks ago to the day.
Wow.
I was like, I can't – what am I doing? Bowie's still making a great run. I got to bring on Coach Whistle. So first and foremost, congratulations on your state tournament berth.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah. Now these girls have been working really hard.
Yeah, and, you know, since our last chat way back on May 10th, you guys haven't lost since then. You guys swept Hendrickson. You swept Oak Ridge and the Woodlands. As a matter of fact, you haven't lost a playoff game at all. You didn't lose before we talked, and you haven't lost since we talked. Have you had time to kind of look back on the playoff run that you're currently on?
No, I have not. Kind of every time we get past that game, we start looking towards the next one. I mean, we enjoy it, but we have not spent a lot of time on past games, I should say.
No, I mean, that makes sense because you're still in the heat of it and you don't really want to look back and reflect on it. You want to win the next game, and so you can win all the games and then you can look back and say, wow, that really was a phenomenal run and we ended it with a state championship. Now, Coach, I know that you've played the sport since you were six. I went back and listened to our first interview, and as a player or as a coach, were you ever as close to a state championship as you currently are?
Not in high school. Went to a private school, so we had we were not in the UIL. But no, I have not. In select ball, we've been in a few championship games, but nothing to this magnitude. I mean, this is huge.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And remind me, how long have you been? You were at Austin High before you got to Bowie.
That is correct. And then this is my second year at Bowie High School.
Oh, second year. So doing big things already in just your second year. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, now, these upcoming games that you got, are you going to treat them any differently than the previous postseason games that you've had as far as, you know, preparation goes, your pregame speech, the weekly routine? Or are you just going to keep things the same and try and keep that continuity that you've had in this postseason run?
We are going to do everything we can to keep it the same. Being, you know, at state, there's a little bit different rules and different things and different procedures. But as far as our practice plan, we have kept it the same. Even with finals, graduation, those are hurdles that we've been jumping over, but we're finding ways to make sure we stay on the right path and that we stay confident and we're keeping our routine. I know it's difficult, and I've got 11 seniors. And, you know, I talked to a mom this morning and she's like, oh, graduation, that's supposed to happen. She goes, every kid's supposed to graduate. This is something, you know, and she goes, but a state championship, she goes, that's huge. That's our goal this week. And so I thought that was pretty cool that she mentioned that. And I was like, man, I guess you're right. So they're looking forward to graduation, but I think more importantly, they're looking forward to Friday night.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's quite an honor that not a lot of baseball and softball teams have here in the state of Texas to be able to play after graduation. So that's something that is certainly certainly something to be proud of. Now, Coach, I wanted to – now, you said that some of the state tournament procedures are a little bit different than some of the postseason, some of the, you know, the previous rounds that you've been in. How are they different other than it's just a one-game series instead of potentially a three-game series?
So just meaning now we're in a big stadium. I mean, this place is going to be packed. We're on time constraints, meaning this is our warm-up time. We have to do our bat check. I mean, there's a possibility that these girls, they check their bats and, you know, one may not pass. So little things like that we've not had to deal with. Now, umpires check your equipment before each game, but this is, like I said, this is a state tournament. So they're making sure that everything on there that we bring is up to regulation.
Now, Liz Whistle, Bowie softball head coach, joining us on the Bob Steak and Chop House Hotline. Coach, I wanted to ask you about this last weekend, the series versus the Woodlands, and you'd played them early on in the season. Did they throw you throw anything at you that you weren't necessarily expecting? Because there were two pretty close games.
They were very close. And when we played them early on, I can honestly say we were not playing to our potential. I know we beat them in our preseason, and that was only an hour and 45 minutes. That was a six-inning game. So who knows if you play that regulation seventh inning, who knows what changes. But this past weekend, these girls, they came out, and from that first pitch, they never let up. And again, they know what's at stake. They know what they're reaching for. And Woodlands is tough. They come at you, you know, and they bring everything. They've got a lot of speed. They've got a lot of power. I know their coach, he pushes to make sure, hey, you better bring it. You better perform your best. And at this point, you know, these girls, they did. They showed up, they prevailed, and they're rewarded for it.
Now, can you tell me some of those girls that have stepped up in these playoffs?
You know, it's the entire team. I don't have one. I do have one specific, but then you look at them, and every girl is doing their role. Every girl knows what they need to do. And, you know, it's like we've got Alex McLennan and Sarah Winston in our battery, and they're doing a great job. They pitch every inning for the Woodlands. Sarah and Alex both pitched 14 innings. And they did an amazing job. But our defense behind them they're doing their job. You know, my two men infielders, they are diving, making catches. My third baseman, my first baseman. It's, again, and even the outfield, they know. They see a ball that's hit, and they're like, hey, I got to make sure I catch that. That's not a hit. I got to make sure I get to that ball. And then, more importantly, the girls in the dugout, they keep the energy up. They keep everybody smiling and pushing and making sure that, hey, you know what, you had a bad at bat, that's okay. Let's focus on this next one. These girls have really adapted to knowing what they have to do and what their role is, and I think that's very important late on in postseason, that you don't have the selfishness. You know, you don't have the, coach, when am I going to go in? Coach, you know, can I hit? It's, coach, what do you need me to do? And I truly believe that is why we are where we are right now.
Now, coach, whenever we talked a few weeks ago, you mentioned that, you know, you've gotten off to a couple of slow starts, and that's something that you'd like to see corrected. Have your girls done a better job of getting out there and putting runs up early?
You know, the Woodlands, we didn't score until the sixth inning. So, but early on, as far as maybe not scoring, but we're putting the ball in play. Our defense is coming through, and that starts at that first pitch. And so I believe that's making a big difference. And this late in the season, we have seen many pitchers, and we have to make those adjustments. So that second at bat, that third at bat, you know, that's crucial for our girls, and that's usually about that fifth or sixth inning that you start seeing us put some runs on the board. We've been putting runners on and doing our best to move them. But like I said, late on in the season, you're playing good pitchers. You've got good defense all around, and so you've got to keep pushing. And again, it's that one that does their job that wins.
Luz Wissel, Bowie softball head coach, joining us here on the Local Spotlight. Now, coach, 6 p.m. game on Friday versus Brenner. They were the 28-6A runners-up. What do you know about this team?
You know, we don't know a lot about them. I've heard a few things just from some of these girls. They play together on the select team. They want it. They're coming at us, and they're gonna do everything they can to make sure that they show up and they play. I know their pitchers, you know, they're not going to put anything down the middle. And their catcher, she's making sure that she keeps us off the bases. So, like I said, I give this team hands down that they're going to come fighting, and we better make sure that we show up too.
Now, coach, I know that a lot of coaches don't like to admit it or don't like to talk about potentially the next game, but, I mean, in this kind of situation with a one-game series on Friday, you could potentially have to turn around if you win on Friday and play on Saturday. And you got to look at the other two teams that are in, you know, that have qualified for the state tournament in 6A. In this particular case, it'll be Keller, who's playing Deer Park. Of course, Keller, the defending 6A state champions. Have you looked ahead at these teams just to see kind of what you could potentially be looking at on Saturday if you make it to the state championship game?
I kind of have looked ahead. I have not pulled any stats. I haven't really looked. My assistant, he's really good at that, and he comes and he usually gives me a report on this or that. I have another person that'll call and tell me what's going on. And usually they let me get through this first game. It's definitely in the back of our minds, but like you said, we don't really focus too much, because if I focus too much on the championship game and I can't even get there, then I wasted some energy and maybe could have used that towards Friday night.
Now, Coach, is it going to be Alex McLennan out there pitching for you on Friday?
It sure is. Alex McLennan and Sarah Williamson.
And what about Saturday? Would you roll out the same pitchers, or would you potentially – you didn't mention her name, but you also said last time that we talked that you had a freshman pitcher doing really well, and you said that she was the future of the program. Would you consider throwing her on Saturday?
Absolutely. Kat Estevez, she's done some great things for us. I'll tell you, Annette Hendrickson came. She came and pitched four innings that were outstanding. So, yes, her, Alex, you know, and I keep them both ready, and they both know it. We have a game plan before we start, and I tell them, hey, this is what's going on, this is what we're doing. That way they're on my page, I'm on their page. Even the catchers, they tell me this is what's working, this is, you know, what's not working. And we go from there, and depending on how we come out Friday, you know, that could have a potential change for us on Saturday, seeing who we're playing or what pitcher. So.
All right. Hey, Coach, congratulations on, you know, just making it to the state tournament. That's, you know, something that only four 6A programs in the state of Texas have the honor of saying, and it's the first trip back to state since 2010, and only your second year. It's quite an accomplishment. So congratulations on that. We wish you the best of luck on Friday and hopefully on Saturday as well. Bring home a state championship, and we can talk again next week, okay?
That would be awesome. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. It's a great honor.
Yeah, of course. Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it, Coach.
All right. Have a good one. Thank you.
You too. Very good. Liz Whistle, one of the best names as far as high school coaches go here in the Central Texas area from Bowie Softball. Very much appreciate her time. And they've got a tough matchup. Tough matchup versus Brandon coming up on Friday and potentially on Saturday as well, because that Deer Park team is no joke if they get past Brandon. And, of course, Keller, your defending 6A state champions, they're going to be a tough test as well. So very much appreciate her time. And good luck to all the young ladies, and good luck to everyone supporting Bowie Softball in their first trip back to the state tournament since 2010. All right, we're going to jump out for our final break. On the other side, though, we're going to be talking about Casey Thompson, the Texas commit who's going to be transferring high schools, not colleges, and also Keontae Ingram, the newest commit in the 2018 class for Coach Herman here on the 40 Acres. It's the Local Spotlight on the Horn.
Welcome back to the Horn Local Spotlight.
Appreciate Kelly Cool, Thorndale baseball head coach, joining us in the first segment, and Liz Whistle, Bowie softball head coach, after their state tournament berth. Appreciate them joining us. You can always go back to hornfm.com on the air tab Local Spotlight. I always say BK does a great job putting those up for us today. I guess it'll be up there regardless of who puts it up there today. So appreciate everyone that goes online to our SoundCloud account or to our website to catch the show after it airs. Cut out the commercials for you too, so you don't have to listen to that. You just get all content. And we do that for every single local show here at the Horn, including episode number 2 of Midday with Trey and BK, who will be coming on right after this here in 10 short minutes. I teased this at the beginning of the show, and I meant to get to it. My apologies. I wanted to mention the Gatorade has announced their Texas Baseball Player of the Year. Been talking a lot about Aggies lately, and this guy's going to be an Aggie as well. Apologize to all Longhorn fans out there, but Texas A&M doing some big things as far as baseball and softball goes. Colleyville Heritage senior pitcher Alex Scherf. He is a Texas A&M signee, 14-0 with a .80 ERA, 134 strikeouts in 78 1/3 innings. So almost 2 strikeouts per inning. So no wonder he is the Gatorade Texas Baseball Player of the Year. Scherf, so he led Colleyville Heritage to the Class 5A region final. So they're going to be playing the defending state champions Grapevine coming up this weekend. So he's going to have a tough test, or maybe Grapevine's going to have a tough test against this Colleyville team. Because of this ace that they've got. Now, Grapevine, of course, 30-11 on the season. Colleyville Heritage, 37-4-1. Now, Scherff is 25-0 over the past two seasons, so he hasn't lost a single game. He was 11-0 last year. He was at a different high school. He was at Prestonwood High School, which is a private school, but he led them to a TAPS 5A state championship before he moved over to Heritage. Now, he's 6'2". He's a righty. He's thrown a perfect game this year and three no-hitters. So three no-hitters and a perfect game this year, and that's only in, 14 starts? That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Scherff is ranked as the nation's number 15 recruit in the class of 2017 by Perfect Game, which is a website that ranks all kinds of baseball stuff, high school baseball stuff, and he is rated as the 21st best high school prospect in the nation for 2017 by Baseball America. He's also a really good student, 3.29 GPA, second straight player from the Dallas area to win this award. Last year, it was Jesuit's Kyle Muller. He was the 2016 winner, and if I'm not mistaken, he led Jesuit to a 6A title as well. Scherff is also a finalist for the Gatorade's National Player of the Year Award, so congratulations to that young man, Texas A&M, getting a good Texas high school baseball pitcher. So before we get to this Keyonte Ingram news, I went back and watched a little film on him. I wanted to mention this. Casey Thompson, already the quarterback that's committed here on the 40 Acres, four-star recruit. Of course, he's been at Southmore High School, which is in Oklahoma City, along with his younger brother, Cade Thompson. They're going to be attending a different school in the fall of 2017. This isn't something that I've heard in the past couple of days, so I wanted to mention it. And not that it really matters that much. He's still going to be coming to Texas, but he'll just be at a different high school for his senior year. Southmore head coach Jeremy Stark, his old high school, confirmed the news to the Oklahoman. Now, sources told the Oklahoman that the Thompsons are expected to move to Newcastle, Oklahoma, which hired the former Southmore offensive coordinator Jeff Brickman this past winter to be its head coach. Texas commit plans to enroll for the spring semester in January. So just a little programming note, Casey Thompson going to be attending a different high school his senior year as opposed to the one that he was at last year. Now, also, this has been a big news, you know, getting a big running back recruit like this in Keyonte Ingram, four-star in-state running back, the number one running back in the state of Texas, 6'1", 190, four-star running back, like I mentioned, from Carthage High in Texas. I went back and watched some film on him, and it was really interesting. He had over 2,200 rushing yards, 31 touchdowns, second-team All-State last year. Just go to his Huddle page, and you'll see just about everything you need to know. I took some notes on him, but, I mean, just a nose for the end zone. There was one play where he took a pitch from the left hash, went all the way back around behind the offensive line and found the right pylon. He's got really good acceleration, too, an excellent burst. Giddy up, as I like to call it. Trey Elling now joining me in studio from Trey and BK's on the midday. What's up, Trey? How are you?
Hey, man, you're talking about Keyonte Ingram there, and you're right about that. His shiftiness, he may not be the fastest guy. You see him getting run down by defensive backs especially, but when he makes moves, it literally looks at times, watching those highlight films, that he's teleporting 5 yards away from where he is starting from. It's crazy to watch some of his shake and bake.
What do they call that? Lateral agility?
Yeah, it's an important quality for a running back especially.
Yeah, it is. He does a really good job of breaking tackles as well, especially arm tackles, so you have to make sure and wrap up on him. And another thing that I really noticed, he's a really patient runner. And this is a guy, I talked about him during the season because he was obviously one of the best running backs in the state of Texas. And we mostly focus on Central Texas area high school sports, but especially during football season, whenever you've got a guy like this who's, you know, rushing for, I guess that's about 150 yards a game and scoring, that's better than two touchdowns a game as well, you're going to take notice. But he's got good hands, too, coming out of the backfield. He can catch all kinds of passes and turn it upfield. So, I mean, he seems like the complete package as far as a running back goes.
Absolutely. And we're going to be speaking with Justin Wells of Inside Texas at 11:15 on midday with Trey and BK. So nice. Here in just a few minutes, because we can watch highlight tape and we could read things. But Justin is one of those guys who actually goes and watches these kids play on a consistent basis. So he's going to have that insight to come with. Also, we're speaking with someone from Rydell, the sports companies, specifically about helmets, even more specific, the UT football helmets, the brand new helmets that include all sorts of technology to help the players avoid the seriousness of certain head injuries. We're going to find out a little bit more about those helmets from one of their technology experts. That's going to be at noon.
So it's guys that are actually designing the helmets themselves?
That the guys that designed the technology, that understand the technology. There was a ranking of the new technology helmets that came out within the last couple of weeks. He's going to shed some light on what went into that process and where those Texas Longhorn helmets ranked in all of that.
Mm, that's interesting. I also had one more note about Keontae Ingram that I wanted to mention. He said something, actually. He told somebody at 24/7 Sports, he told Taylor Ham, he said at one point in time, I don't want to get hurt, so you do need other guys in there as well, speaking on bringing other running backs in as far as this class goes. He said, when I get out there, it's not just about me. It's about winning a national championship, so I don't mind playing with other guys as well. And that's one of the things I noticed from watching this film was he knows when a play is over, and he doesn't take any additional damage. And that just tells me that he's a smart football player. Like, he runs out of bounds whenever he knows that the play is over. He goes down as opposed to taking three or four additional hits that he doesn't need. And especially in this day and age of football, it's important to have that trait just to be able to sustain your football playing career. But not only that, I mean, but to be able to stay on the field for extended periods of time.
Emmitt Smith received a lot of unfair criticism during his playing days with the Cowboys because he would do that as well. But then you look at the entirety of his career, guess what? He ended as the all-time leading rusher in the NFL,
yep.
All-time leader in touchdowns scored. Emmitt knew when he needed to lower his pads and get those extra yards to get that first down, but he also knew how to preserve himself to remain that feature back for a number of Cowboys Super Bowl winning teams.
Boy. It's one of the best to ever do it right there. Very much appreciate you producing the show today, Adam. Thank you very much. Trey, good luck with episode 2, Middays with Trey and BK, coming up right after this. Tomorrow, got a great show lined up for you. Hopefully we could get on with Liberty Hill softball coach Sharice Hankins, and we'll be talking with Drew Sanders from Vandergrift football. They had their spring game this past week, so we're going to be talking with him as well. Very much looking forward to that. Thanks for spending some of your Wednesday with us. We'll see you tomorrow, Austin.